You know our expectations about how much stuff we should have around us have changed significantly. You know, and by stuff I don't mean just things, but the amount of information, of course, now. Because we have this situation where the amount of information locked in place around us, it's staggering. You know, not just the one that you can access in your free time, of course, but no matter what your speciality, your field is, you never can hope to catch up with everything that's been, you know, done, said, written in your field, right? So if you're a teacher, I don't think you read all the books about, I don't know, history that there are. Of course, the more you read, the more you'd be able to understand, right? This is why, in some ways, the guys from the 19th century scholars appear so awesome, because they would be, you know, virtual libraries of all the knowledge in a field. They would have read almost every book they could lay their hands on. But they didn't have access to all the languages, right? They would get all their books in, you know, English or Latin or Greek or Arabic or whatever. Remember that the Greeks were lost until the Arabs brought them back to Europe. Yeah, the Reconquista, everybody thinks it's just the reconquering Spain from the Arabs, yeah, from the Moors. But it also represents reconquering the knowledge that we got from, yeah, the Greek knowledge. The Greeks were retranslated. Why? Because the Arabs were much nicer than the Christians in terms of allowing communities of East Jewish, Christian, and Arab scholars. Yeah, they spoke different languages. Yeah, Hebrew, Arabic, and Latin, one assumes, or and Greek. Yeah, there is a lot of dispute on the details about this, but these three communities, religiously speaking, right, Christian, Jewish, and Arab, could coexist under Arab rule. Yeah, and due to this tolerance, we still have the Greeks. In Europe, the Arabs already had it. We gave it to them, they lost, we lost it. How was it possible to lose the Greeks? Let's ask ourselves that. How was it possible that Europe, until the Reconquista, let's remember the years here, yeah? This is in the, what, century? 13th, 14th century? Yeah, pretty late. Yeah, pretty late, because the Greeks, the works that were lost were written in, you know, the centuries around Christ, basically. So, what happened? Well, the library at Alexandria got burned and all that stuff, but 1,000 years, isn't that excessive? So we reconquered the Greeks. But that's because somebody kept it from us. We lost it. We had it. We lost it. For 1,000 years. Imagine that. 1,000 years. Imagine what that does to the European psyche. To lose something as great as the Greek philosophers. Yeah, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, all these, to lose the books, you know, perhaps, I don't know, there was some vague knowledge about these names, Plato, I don't know, do you know, but the books were lost, yeah, the books were, who knows, misplaced, right, so we reconquered them. Thank you, Arabs, for your tolerance, yeah, in these centuries. Yeah, where is that the gratitude for that towards the Middle Eastern nations? Now everybody's pissed off now, Middle Easterners, because there's always a fight going on, right? A war, a civil war. Right. But this same culture didn't just, you know, produce suicide bombers, yeah, the jihad, whatever concept that we have now. This is another manifestation of one huge culture which started with Muhammad, yeah, and enabled us to recover the Greeks. That's the historical facts. I forget about the religious part for a second. Yeah, or did the religious part play a role? Tolerance. Islam taught tolerance to the Christians, right? How difficult it is to grasp this from the current point of view when we think that Islam would, you know, like, that Christians are so much more tolerant. Christian societies, right, are now much more tolerant. Because they're probably not Christian, I don't know. If this is Christianity, it's a different form than the one that we had in those centuries in which, obviously, we were not very tolerant, yeah. Let's remember the Inquisition. Or, you know, still even now, we're doing stuff like excommunicating. What does that mean? Right? Was Hitler excommunicated? No. I wonder what that was, right? So we come with a lot of knowledge around us, right? Going back to that. But all this knowledge has come to us because somebody has worked. Many somebodies, right, have worked to preserve it, and now it's accessible. And there's so much of it accessible that we are lost, yeah, so much information. In some ways, all this, you know, apocalyptic scenarios just express our deep desire to go back to a world where there is less stuff and information around us, yeah. Somebody who would be now, you know, working on, I don't know, let's say building some product that does that, that can be done by one person, yeah, will never be able to read all of the things that are relevant to his job, right? Would not have access, immediate access, you know, like, I mean, instant by on his own, you know, a database in his brain, not outside, obviously. Two, all that he could know. Even, you know, even in the internet, it would take you like months to get all this stuff, right, in one place. All the knowledge that we have about, let's say, fire extinguishers. Can you imagine building a fire extinguisher? Yeah. All the things about the substance that's stored inside a fire extinguisher, yeah. All the knowledge that's stored in a computer is, you know, way much more. We have all these structures around us that enable us access to all this huge amount of information. But we have a limited time on this planet, obviously, right? So we feel that we're incompetent most of the time. Yeah, we don't know all that we should know. So then people, you know, imagine people who are 300 years ago, you know, let's say somebody who's making a, I know, pots, or somebody who's making, what did we use as a computer then? The abacus, right? Some kind of device that's basically a mechanical tool that can be, you know, constructed in a couple of days, even by a child right now. But that was useful to count, right? To do mathematical operations. Yeah. But anyway, the point is that the craftsmen, those guys who would do this, they would feel that they have all the knowledge they need to produce this, right? We produce this. Yeah, now we produce computers, and I mean our societies produce computers and so on. And even the people who are involved directly in this process probably could not do it on their own. You know, even the people who would be involved at some point, you know, in making a fire extinguisher, yeah, building some part of it, or would probably not have access to, because he would not know, he would know some information about what kind of, you know, chemical substances go inside this fire extinguisher, right? how it can be, I don't know, activated much more, you know, knowledge about how it's supposed to be operated. Yeah, there would be some quality standards, there would be some testing, there would be all these things to, you know, wonder about in terms of what does a fire extinguisher achieve. But also there'll be a lot of knowledge about metals, right? Usually they're metal canisters. But there wouldn't be all of the information. One person would not have at his fingertips, it wouldn't be this kind of like situation, as would be perfectly normal for somebody who's building, you know, let's say a bucket, right? The fire extinguisher at that time was a bucket. Yeah. How do you make a bucket? Well, you get some metal, right? How do you get the metal? Well, they're the guys who dig it out of the earth, right? And then they put it in an oven, and then it becomes like all this molten stuff, and just beat the crap out of it, yeah, with a hammer, and then you shape it as much as you can as a, you know, a cone, right? Without a sharp end, and then that's it, right? Then you have a bucket. You know, hopefully you put a handle on it as well, and then you use this as a fire extinguisher by just getting water from the river around you, right? So that's the fire extinguisher. How much information do you need to input into this particular product? Well, there's a lot, you know, there's also, it involves a lot of the craft that is involved, the hammering, the retrieving of the minerals, which might, maybe you will not, but it's completely different from the complexity of a current fire extinguisher with just the label. Just the ink on the label is almost unimaginable to you know, see the source of that. Yeah. Let alone the chemicals that are integral to its functioning. The metal parts machining or whatever else, right? And we're not going to go into computers, right, and the comparison between computers and abacus, because this would be getting absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, so there's a lot of knowledge stored around us, in the things around us, and in the larger, you know, internet databases everywhere around the world. So we feel overwhelmed. There's too much stuff around us, right? Too much stuff around us. Is it possible that because we feel there's too much information around us, we should go back to earlier times when there was less interest into getting all this information? Yeah, when was this? When we lost the Greeks in Europe? Yeah, when we only had one book, the book? Is that where we want to go back to? You see, in all these strange deviations from religious roots, which are, you know, the Inquisition, the jihadi movement, now suicide bombing, or whatever, these are branching out of a religion. And then they claim that the book is the only one worth keeping, right? Burn all the rest, if you have to. Or just burn all the rest. Because it makes life much more easier, right, if we do this, right? For a lot of people, then it sounds like, okay, now I don't have to worry about all this knowledge out there. Why does it make us so nervous? Because there's so much of it, right? It makes us feel small. Yeah, our place in the world doesn't feel as big as it would have, you know, for somebody who knew how to make buckets. The blacksmith of the town, yeah, a specific one. Yeah, one. Now, what do we have? Like an engineer? Yeah. Yeah, it's now general, just anonymous. Because, of course, the population of the planet has increased in the meantime. Yeah, it's a bit now more than it used to be. Yeah, as in probably about 6 billion more than there used to be. Yeah. So these are the huge numbers, and then this is a direct result. So how do we deal with this? Well, do we need to deal with this? Do we need to feel so much angst towards this huge mass of information and things that surround us? Up to a point, but that's how the universe is. Yeah, we've gradually learned that we're not at the center of the universe. Our planet is not at the center of the universe. We're not the only thing, right? People used to think, you know, maybe that we're on a plate and that's it, like at the end of what you could see, at the end of all this, there's just, you fall off the edges. That would be the end of the world, right? But this is not how the world is. We're just on a globe that's spinning around this huge star, which is also containing to a huge thing called a galaxy, which again is just one out of billions. Yeah? Billions again. So that's the reality out there, whether we want to open our eyes to it or not. And if you want to shut it down, why do you want to shut it down? To keep only one book and give you peace of mind? Perhaps it will give you peace of mind, but if you have to kill everybody else and burn everything else, how would that be peace of mind? Yeah? No. Peace of mind we can get only when we realize our place in the universe, and it's a small place. Yeah? Stop treating yourself like such an important thing, human. You hear me? Yeah. Learn your place among the billions, among the billions, among the billions.